The promise that's in this verse, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. What a promise. Precious promise. How many deer hunters have that kind of promise? Draw nigh to the deer and they'll draw nigh to you. It's not that good, is it? But our God that we heard talked about in the devotions, He will draw nigh to us if we draw nigh to Him. Let's learn how to do it. That's the promise. The promise of why we can't draw nigh to Him is the second phrase, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. The problem of drawing nigh is sin. James is blunt. The problem of us not being able to draw nigh is worldliness and it's sin. And then he says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Cleanse your minds. Purify it. Change your way of thinking. Be pure. Be single-minded. Don't be double-minded. So many of us want to be double-minded in our thinking. We'll serve God one day, Sunday, but on the next Friday night, no way. I'm going to have my own way on Friday night. I'm going to comb my hair like I want to comb it. I'm going to dress like I want to dress it. And I want to watch the videos that I want to watch. Does it work? You have a close relationship with God? Let's look at what James has to say. Draw nigh to God, the promise. Let's go back and read from verse 1 through verse 11. From whence come wars and fightings among you? What a question. A bold question. Where do the wars and fightings come from? Why is there problems in the church? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? A rhetorical question without an answer, but the answer is left for you to answer. It comes because there are lusts in your members. That is, you have this desire to please yourself and the desire to exalt yourself in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye, powerful verse here. Get ready, hang on to your seats. This is powerful. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. James is blunt. He's direct, and he said it like it is. And this verse is so meaningful. Let's read it all together. Verse 4 of James 4. All together. Ye adulteresses and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend to the world is the enemy of God. Can we understand that verse? Is it hard to understand? Verse 5. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? We have this old spirit that dwells in us that just wants to go the wrong direction. We still have the Adamic nature. We still have the carnal nature. We still have the old man within us. He giveth more grace. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. There it is. You proud? You have a problem with pride in your life? Then you can't experience God's grace and his closeness, his intimate relationship that he desires to have. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother knoweth his brother. Speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. I ask you this question at this point. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you been able to draw nigh? Are you intimate with your relationship with him? It's a critical question for all of us. And there's so many things out there that want to rob us of that intimate relationship with God. First of all, have you been transformed into his likeness? Are you changed, a changed creature? Is your heart soft? Not a heart of stone, like it says in Ezekiel 36, but it's a heart that's soft and can be pricked by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. How about it? When you do something, when you sin, when you long for the world, does the Holy Spirit prick you? Or don't you care? Don't you care? Oh, well, everybody else does it. I'm going to do it too. You're not going to have an intimate relationship with God with that kind of an attitude. Draw nigh to God. Let's look at the promise. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. We must take the initiative to come close to God. God's over here. We got to walk over there and talk to God. And then God will come and talk to you. He's not going to impose himself on any of us. We need to want to have a relationship with him. He's not going to impose himself on you. Acts says that the Lord is nigh unto all of us. He is not far from any of us. What is the problem? Well, the barrier between you and your God is this. What do you think it might be? Number one, it's sin. Number one, it's sin. And we all sin. Don't feel bad if you're a sinner. But it says in the text that he giveth more grace. Have you came to him? And he says that we should mourn and weep. Cry if we know we've sinned. Repent. The first step to drawing nigh to God is maintaining a spiritual fidelity with him. James chapter 4 and verse 4, the one we read together. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't know how much clearer, how much more blunt, and how much more true that could be made. You like the world? You don't have a relationship with Him. It's that simple. You like sin? You cannot have an intimate relationship with Him. What we do is we forsake God. And then most of the time we form a counterfeit idol that we worship in the place of God. Do you have a fondness for worldly things? That's the question. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, what? Say it. The love of the Father is not in him. Love the world? Fool around with the world? Look like the world? Act like the world? Listen to the world? Can't have a relationship with him. You know, Lot was down there in the rich lands, rich meadows of the valley, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Over there, that's what I like, Sodom. And he could see all the attractions over there. He could see the chariot races. He could see the tractor pulls, and he could see the fashion centers. He could see that, but no, I'm still out here in the valley. I'm still okay. But Uncle Abraham, you know what he did? He went to a place and he set up an altar. He built an altar and he worshiped God. He called upon the name of God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? James places it in very stark contrast. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And to top it all off, the world's going to pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God is going to abide forever in glory. A major, major difference. Passing away and abiding forever. Need to move on. Number two, cleanse your hands. The problem. You know, dear ones, cleanse your hands. You don't get your hands clean until we wash each part of the hand specifically. You know, when I was a young boy, I'd wash my hands and go in there and my mom would say, your hands aren't clean, you got to wash them again. Go wash them again. This time use soap. Sure enough, when you use soap, it made a difference. Cleanse your hands. How many times have we heard that in the last year? Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Don't spread COVID. The germs will stay on your hands. You put your hands on a gas pump. You spread germs on the gas pump and the next guy comes along and he gets the germs of your germs. Cleanse your hands. Well, what did James mean? It means identifying and confessing the sin in practical areas of life that separates us from a full relationship with God. Do you have a relationship with God? Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, is what Isaiah says. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. We need to cleanse our hands, wash each crack and crevice of our hands specifically. What about it? Are there specific sins that you have committed? Have you spent time in worldly things and watching worldly YouTubes? Have you listened to worldly music, concerts? What about worldly humor? And drag racing YouTubes and so forth? Wash your hands. Confess your sins. God desires truth in your inward parts. We bought a house one time that was old and dilapidated, and the people had moved out in a hurry. And we hired a tracker. We was there with the tracker working. And the first thing we took off was the roof. And you could look down and you took the roof off. And you could see what was inside the house. We went down to the second floor and there were clothes and bed covers and all that in the house. We got down to the first floor and there was still food on the table and food in the refrigerator. We exposed what was in that house. And that's exactly what God wants you to do, to expose what's in your heart. And I ask you tonight to take that track hoe and expose what's in your heart. What is it? James says that we must have a deep sorrow for sin. Paul says, abhor that which is evil. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness, rather than the laughing of a humor video. Mourn for your sin. Mourn for your sin, and you can draw nigh to God. It's that simple. Take God's word. Open it up. And look and see what it says. Love not the world. Dress modestly. Talk softly. Tell no lies. That's what the Word of God says. How about it? And a whole bunch of other things. You know, we like to be so close to the world. We keep moving and we keep moving. We like to be in the close proximity to the world. And we try and convince ourselves that we have a relationship with God. Not so. Not so. The relationship with the world keeps us from a relationship with God. draw nigh to God, get sin out of the way and the world out of the way, and then we can have a relationship with God. Mourn and weep for your sins. Paul says, cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Purify your hearts. Final point of the message. You know, the problem with us so much is we are double-minded. We are not sure that we want to go all the way with Jesus. We are not sure that we want to go all the way, just most of the way, but yeah, we'll fit into the church. But we want to do our own things just sometimes. You're not quite sure you're all in for Jesus. The scripture repeatedly admonishes us to be radical in our commitment to Jesus Christ. If anything stands in the way, he says, Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. Listen tonight. What you think about is what you will become. What you think about is what you will become. What you take in is what you will become. It's true. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You think like the world, you're like the world. Verse 5 of James 4 says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain? I like that. I just stopped there. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain? Do you think that the scripture saith in vain? Hey, the word of God says nothing in vain. There's nothing in the word of God that's just fodder and worthless. It says stuff because they're the pure word of God. It's search the scriptures, for in them ye think. If ye think on them, ye shall have eternal life. Search them. Oh, yeah, there it is. Search the scriptures. You'll have eternal life. And a relationship with God. Just as a recap, I have a couple things I'd like to say. Keys to drawing nigh to God is resist the devil, found in verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, a lot of Christians, they're afraid to resist the devil. They kind of like him. But you need to tell him, get out of here. Get out of here. You need to make an irrevocable commitment to Jesus Christ and say, devil, I'm tired of it and I'm done with you. Get out. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Another promise. Resist the devil. Stand against the devil. Make your declaration clear that you are taking an irrevocable stand against the devil, his surrogates, and the world. A commitment very much like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're standing here in front of a burning fiery furnace. They said, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. But you know what? If you don't get us out of this problem, we're not serving you anyways. That's the kind of commitment I'm calling you to tonight. irrevocable, regardless of the consequences. Number two, submit yourself to God or to God's will for your life. Commit yourself to obedience to the Word and His people. You can't draw an eye to God and despise His people. That's all through James chapter 4. You have a brotherhood. You're bound together in a brotherhood, and you need to submit yourselves to the brotherhood and to God. Prayer. Oh, James has so much to say about prayer. Ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss. I want my own way. I want God to answer my prayer. I want to be successful. I want this. No, we want His will. And you'll have a relationship with Jesus. Pray like Jesus did. Not my will, but thine be done. No individual will survive spiritual conquest unless they're willing to get down on their knees and pray in humility that God would lift them up. You will not find spiritual victory without sincere prayer. Self-expression will break brotherhood relationships and break a relationship with God. Understanding how selfish living and attempts to worship militate against relationships in the brotherhood. Humility. Brokenness. You know, there was two men went up to the temple to pray one day. And the one said, I can see him flopping his lapel on his suit. And he said, I'm glad I'm not like everybody else is, you know. I don't cheat. I don't run around with other women. You know, I'm just a pretty good fella. And the other man said, he smote his breast. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you come to that place tonight? Can you draw an eye to God? And He will draw an eye to you. What a promise. What a promise. And it's for everybody sitting on this pews. It's a promise that we all can have. But we cannot be friends of the world. We cannot draw an eye to Him if we are friends with the world. May God bless you as you examine your hearts.